Welcome to Ear Biscuits. I'm Link.
And I'm Rhett. Joining us today at the round table of dim lighting is Joseph Garrett, the creator and voice of one of the most popular Minecraft avatars on the interwebs, Stampy Cat. His Minecraft-focused YouTube channel called Stampy Longhead boasts over 5.8 million subscribers and 3.5 billion views. His popularity...
Can I say that again? 3.5
billion. Yeah, you can say it as much as you want. I love that B stutter. Now, his popularity amongst children is unprecedented, so much so that Entertainment Weekly called him the Mr. Rogers of Minecraft.
He was not wearing a cardigan.
No.
Or talking to a trolley when he came in here, though.
But a legitimate publication has called him the Mr. Rogers of Minecraft, and that does it for me.
If you're in grade school or know someone in grade school, chances are you've heard of Stampy Cat. His voice is an almost constant presence in my home. I'm not complaining. You know, I sat down with Lily and said, all right, I got to figure out this Minecraft Stampy Cat thing. And I was kind of sucked in, and I think you'll, from the conversation, you'll kind of hear that there's a level of fascination that I have for what he's done because it's so much different than what I thought it was. I mean, he's got the voice very distinctive. Here's a montage.
What's on the floor? Is this cake? It's just cake everywhere as far as the eye can see. Oh, look, it's Santa. Look, Santa's eating my cake. Oh my God, he's eating my cake. Oh, he's on fire. Woo! No, I died! Go on, give a baby sheep. Give me a baby sheep. Oh, it's a game of purple sheep. I got purple babies. Look at it. Look at it. How incredible is this? Check that out. How about that? We can hear go and light up the cruise ship in the night. That is epic.
You know, but it's not just the voice. It's not just any one thing. I think we hit on a bunch of things mm-hmm. that are the key to the culmination of his success coming together. Family-friendly character based on Minecraft, 20-minute daily videos full of imagination and ingenuity. It's not your typical Let's Play. These are planned and executed much like a television show, really. Storytelling, humor, friendly characters, villains, plot lines mixed into ingenuitive Minecraft building projects.
Yeah, we had a great time sitting down with Joseph and talking about this creative process, incredibly detailed, and why he insists on doing most of it himself. Also talked about his new show that is filmed entirely within the world of Minecraft and how he gets cameras, I'm using air quotes, cameras into Minecraft. That was fascinating to me. Remarkably simple, but I never thought about it before. Mm-hmm. And how spending so much time playing Minecraft actually led to him getting a girlfriend who, first time ever, makes an appearance.
We have a girlfriend appearance on the podcast.
Yes.
So be sure to stick around for that. But first, we want to take a moment to tell you guys about our Song Biscuits Volume 1 album available on iTunes. If you haven't checked it out already, we got a whole season of the songs we wrote, oftentimes collaborating with guests on Ear Biscuits. Like within an hour or so, we wrote the whole song. You remember, you guys tweeted at us and told us what to write the song's about. Now it's all available on iTunes.
Right, all these were on Good Mythical Morning. You can go watch those. There were Saturday videos for 15 weeks in a row, but I think you'll enjoy it. They were designed not just to be watched, but to go right into your ear holes. And so we have masterfully crafted those to go right into your ear holes by putting them on iTunes. That's pretty much how it works. I think they're also available on Amazon. Anyway, yeah. Be helpful if you go over there and leave a rating and a review. And of course, buying it is always helpful too. Appreciate that.
And now on to the biscuit with Stampy Cat.
They said you had more views than Bieber.
Yeah. So
and like, then everyone wanted to talk about that.
But it's just the first article, whenever they state something, everyone just picks up on it. And so the first big article about me said more views than Justin Bieber, like on YouTube, which is, I mean, he's not a YouTuber, so what does it matter anyway? But like,
yeah.
You know, like,
right.
He's sold more songs than me. You know, but like, now every time it's introduced, it's like, more views than Justin Bieber. Like that phrase has stuck with me for like 2.5 years or something. Just
right.
Because... You know, because one person mentioned it, you know.
Copy and paste it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, that sounds good. That sounds real good.
Why write when you can copy and paste?
Yeah, so we basically...
That was my philosophy in English class growing up.
This is probably a good time to tell you that we just took that BBC article and we're going to go by the exact same format.
Yeah, I saw
format.
You hurriedly deleting something as I was saying that.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Put that away.
So we met... This is our second meeting in person. First one was in France.
Yeah.
Backstage at the whatever it was. I'm still fuzzy on what it was.
We just knew it was a trip to France, and so we went.
You had a similar situation to me. So someone wants you to speak in France, in Cannes. Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I'll speak.
We'll go.
I can speak.
Having never been to Europe, you have, but I had never been to Europe.
I'd never been to France.
And meeting you was a highlight, because then I was able to have bragging rights with my kids and a little iPhone video from you to them.
That went a long, long way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We remain, we're still dads to this day because of that iPhone video. I mean, it would have been over a few weeks ago. They would have disowned us. It probably would have been a few weeks back.
Right.
You know?
Well, luckily, so I kept your family life intact, so you're welcome.
I don't know if you remember, I told you when I made the video, but going over there, I was like, you know, Stampy's going to be at this thing. I'm telling Lincoln and Lily, because they watch religiously. Lando now does too, who's five, so he's finally getting into it. He's finally getting it. And I said, you know, there's a chance we can meet Stampy. He's going to be there. And they were like, oh. I was like, what do you want me to tell him? And Lincoln said, well, just tell Stampy you're my biggest fan. I was like, well, that's backwards, dude. But I'll tell him.
Oh, dear. But I mean, it's amazing when you meet people that, you know, like other YouTubers that, you know, that you respect and been watching for a while, and you got to them, you're like, oh, what am I going to say to them? I'm a bit nervous. Then they come up to you and they're like, hey, it's Stampy, you're here. Like, it's so great to see you. Just like, you know, the fact that they've heard of you, and, you know, it's normally because they got kids that watch you, you know, with me, but that's always, you know, an exciting thing.
Well, you know, it's funny because, I mean, it's probably a little bit of a fickle thing, but I've told my wife this before, that it is helpful sometimes when your reputation precedes you when you go into a group, because a lot of times when you do what we do for a living, like I was at a birthday party a week ago with a bunch of people who are more friends of my wife than me, and no one really knew what I did, and so then you kind of like, I'll kind of start explaining what
there's
I do.
There's that moment when you have to decide if you're going to really
right.
say,
am I
going to
do like, I'm a video producer, let's just leave it at that, because you are in LA and you can understand what that is. Because if I say I make YouTube videos, then it just, there's all these questions that come up, and then it's just like, it's, I don't want to be in that conversation. But when somebody has that, like, oh, no, I get it, and I like it. I mean, it's a little bit selfish, obviously.
But do you deal with that?
But yeah, I mean, imagine there's an extra level of explaining that the videos you do are playing video games. Like, you know, right. You could send them one of your videos or a podcast, and they get, you know, that's,
yeah, right.
It's close enough to something they can understand. If I have to explain that, oh, I make videos on YouTube, oh, what do you do? It's like, have you heard of Minecraft? You know, like,
yeah.
If they say yes or no, then you know whether it's going to be a 10-minute or an hour conversation of explaining exactly what you do.
Yeah, and then you, if you go there, if you say I'm going to do the long explanation, so you will know exactly what it is I do. You get to the end of this 15-minute explanation, and they're kind of like,
I mean, you had,
it doesn't matter.
I mean, yeah. Have you ever just dropped a bomb on somebody? And by the way, I have 3 billion views. You know, it's like, I think I have enough read on you to know that you would probably never say that, but maybe you would.
No, I mean, like,
at some point you got to pull out the big gun and just bam.
The problem is, people generally, when most people I meet kind of just know, you know, like if I'm at like a family thing that people know, or meeting friends, you know, people generally, they're either other YouTubers and so know, or kind of have heard that I do something, you know, especially with kids, because, you know, it'll be someone whose child watches me, or someone's auntie's kids watching me. So the kind of the connection gets right. through. So they don't really understand what I do, but they know that, you know, little Billy loves me for some reason. You know?
So, yeah.
So right. that kind of makes it easy. But I mean, what I've been told, I got given advice for when going through customs, when I have to say, is it work or pleasure? If I have to say work, it's just to say I'm in advertising. Apparently that's the easiest way, because then they're like, okay, whatever. They're not interested at that
yeah,
point.
Right.
They just let you go.
That's good.
And if the follow-up answer is just pre-roll ads,
yeah.
You know? And yeah. I mean, other integrations, if you really want to talk about it, you know, but
it's an internet thing.
Right. It's an internet thing. 3 billion views, you wouldn't understand, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
You missed our scooter adventure in France, you know, the day after we met you.
Yeah, I saw you speaking about it, though. I heard about it.
Oh, man. It was one of the highlights of our lives.
And we're not joking. Like, I mean, we each had our own scooter, but we each had our wife on the back of the scooter. And it was, what a great experience going up to, what's it called? Monaco.
Monaco, yeah.
Next time, man, you get you a scooter, you come with us.
I also remember you being fascinated by the toilets as well. Was that another highlight of the trip?
Yes. Yes, I'm a fan of bidets and...
fancy toilets over
there.
Fancy toilets in London?
You know, if you're in a nice restaurant, is good. If you're in a train station, then not so
good.
Hot. No,
but the bidet is not so much an English thing, all right? I mean, you have them, but it's not like in every bathroom.
No, I mean Europe and, you know, let's go and say Europe and England's very similar. Europe's in England, England's in Europe, the other way around, you know. But you know, it's very similar. Like, it's,
you do have a bidet at your house. In your apartment.
Yeah, you get sent one by the queen, you know, at a certain age. It's how it works.
No, but they are around?
Yeah.
When you turn 13.
Okay, yeah. When they're a London thing too. Oh, okay.
All right, I'll visit now. Now that I know that.
There's a lot that I want to talk about. I think kind of one of the first places I wanted to go was, I mean, just in the videos that I've watched with Lily, I mean, she's the most religious viewer in our house. I quickly find out it's not a typical, just watch me play Minecraft. I mean, there's a lot that goes into the various different types of videos that you play. But I just want you to walk us through a typical episode within your lovely world. What are those called? Just the lovely world.
Yeah. There's not really a name of the series. The video is in my lovely world. So this is my main series, and that's what I put most time into, and they're my most planned videos. So as you know, you've deducted, I'm not just pressing record. Like, I know kind of the beginning, middle, and end of what the episode's going to be.
So walk us through it for someone who hasn't watched yet.
Okay, so a typical episode is I'll be building either a new shop or a mini game or something, but before I even think about building it, I've come up with say if I'm doing a mini game, I come up with the idea of the game, I have to come up with a theme, and then I then entirely build it in a separate world to practice it, have people come in and test playing it with me, and then I'll kind of go into the world and then work out, well, if I built this much in one episode, then we could kind of test playing it and it'll be a fun ending. And then in the next episode, we can do this part. And then, you know, I work out three episodes, which we spent building and then playing this game.
Right. So the pre-production, I mean, I could just tell watching one 20-minute video, there's a lot that goes into this. But from an audience's perspective, walk us through from that perspective. I mean, right from the go, there's a few things that I can count on as a viewer, right?
Yeah.
More than a few things.
Yeah,
first off, the first words out of your mouth.
Hello, this is Stumpy, and welcome to a Minecraft Let's Play video. That's how it always starts. And that's, you know, that's not a planned intro, but people love that familiarity. I always start in the same place, and the beginning routine is always
the
same. Yeah.
So you're in your house, you're kind of talking to the audience, but the character is looking at the camera, so to speak.
Yeah.
So you've got that viewpoint.
I always talk directly to the viewer. I never say like, oh, would all of you like this? I always say, you know, would you like this? Like, I'm always speaking
to an individual.
Yeah, to an individual.
But the camera is looking at Stampy, the character.
Yeah, well, the majority of the time it's just the first person perspective. So they're just seeing what Stampy would be seeing if, you know, if he was in that world.
So Stampy leaves his house. There's usually like there's a pet bit and then there's a garden bit. I mean, walk me through all of that.
Okay, so always start if we're in my room. That has kind of changed a bit over the years. I always have a cake for breakfast is a must, because otherwise I'm not happy for the rest of the video. And then I go to the Love Garden, which is basically a place where anyone who sent me fan art or a great video or just done anything cool, then I put their name down in a sign and say thank you. So say someone has, you know, decorated an amazing wall in like Stampy Cat colors or something. Then,
in real life.
Yeah. Then I'll put a picture of that up and say, thanks for doing that. You know, that's really awesome. Welcome to my Love Garden. And that's a sign in my world, which will stay there forever. So every video when I go to the Love Garden, they can kind of see their sign, which is a cool thing.
Yeah.
And the garden is pretty huge if you're because you make a video every single day.
Yeah, not in that series. I do two videos a week in that series, and originally there was a sign each. They now have to share signs. There's now four per sign.
It's kind of like burying people in a cemetery. At a certain point, you got to start stacking people.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like the round table of dim lighting here, you know, eventually.
Signatures on top of each other.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the first person to have to write the underneath of the table. That's not a glorious
moment.
Yeah,
there is one under there.
But just to clarify, the fans in your love garden, they're not deceased.
No.
I just want, for anyone listening, let's just clarify that.
Being deceased is not required.
At some point, you bring a pet along. So there's like, you know, you've got pets. You've got dogs in the Minecraft world that have names that you're choosing one to be your companion.
Yeah, like people like animals a lot. And I find having animals is good. I mean, having animals in Minecraft is great because, like, the thing that I do is it's so planned, like most of it, but the commentary's unscripted and things can happen in the video which I didn't plan, and you just go with it. Like, the dog can suddenly jump off something or set off some TNT or something, and having animals with kind of crazy AI running around is an amazing thing to add humor to a video. And you just to pretend like, you know, I speak to them as if they understand me. I ask, oh, you're looking happy today. Oh, you're going off to explore this. You know, so like I'm always making up most of the story as I go along. And it's the same with other characters in the videos. I have other people that join me who are real people controlling characters, but they don't speak. They can hear me, but they don't speak. So I could look at a character called Lee Bear, who's a big bear, and I go, oh no, you look upset today. You know, he's just standing there. And then, so he'll then react to me, and then I'll make up, oh, did you lose your thing? You know, so I can make up a kind of a story on the fly.
And you don't, and this is never, I mean, as far as I've seen, it's never montaged. This is a single 20-something minute long episode.
Yeah, so 20 minutes straight commentary, just me speaking. You know, sometimes it will go wrong and I'll be like, a lot of the time I'll get close to the end and I'm like, nothing happened. Like, this is boring. Like, and I'll just go and start again. Like, that happens a lot. Or like...
A lot?
So, yeah.
You're at that 18 minutes in and you're like, this isn't... I'm going
to
start
I've
over.
Got to the... I've been editing a video and been watching it back and being like, no, this isn't... It's like, I'm not like, this isn't entertaining. There's nothing. Everything just went as it was supposed to. That's boring. Like, it went too well. It was just fine.
So instead of having an edit trick, like, I'm going to splice in the end, I'm going to create an alternate ending, you start over. It's just because it's live.
It's live. And it's real. It's, you know, if I'm building something, I'm actually, you know, I'm doing it all there. But
anything you built, you'd have to tear down and then rebuild. Oh, well,
you can kind of just quit without saving and then go back, which is what I do a lot.
Okay, that's good.
They're typical episodes. I then have special episodes, which the planning goes even further to, you know, I'll do an episode where I go to space and I build a rocket ship.
I want to talk about that one.
Yeah.
But before we do, just continue walking me through, though. And I like the details of it because you'll pick your dog sometimes. You'll take him, you know, you'll have your... the other person who's playing with you, and then you'll go and you'll build a game, but then you won't finish it, but then you'll go and that'll be the first half. You're actually doing like construction and creation of I liken it to kind of like on Survivor, where like everyone's doing a physical challenge. It's kind of like a really fun Minecraft version of a game, a physical challenge game like that within the game. You're building that, but then at some point you go to another game that you finish and you play that, and it's like a competition with stakes.
Yeah, so usually, like, I never want videos to be just building for 20 minutes. So normally, you know, at the ending, I'll go and like, oh, we'll play just a game I've already built just as a fun ending. And so, but when I'm actually building, I'm really being very conscious to kind of teach what I'm building, because a lot of the time people copy what I've built and build it in their own world. So I'm being very particular about, you know, place 10 blocks along this way. Or then if I'm doing, there's something called redstone in the game, which is kind of like wiring. So you can do like mechanical things, have pistons and buttons and things. And so if I'm doing anything like that, I'm very particular in terms of like, this is how, you know, then it becomes slightly more, you know, it's always entertainment first, but then it's a bit more of a guide, or, you know, giving people ideas at least.
So what percentage of your time now is devoted to planning versus the execution in the world?
It's pretty much like the recording is 20 minutes. It's the recording is the length of the video. The planning can take, for a Lovely World episode, you know, it'd generally be at least a full day planning the episode, and then I normally record it the next day.
But even coming up with those games, the intricate nature of these things, there's a mechanical nature, and it's just whimsical, but it's something. All of these things you're talking about are things that, like, a top-notch television producer would hire a team of 20 people. Half of the people in the room would just be writers to devise this type of stuff.
But that's where I think the value is. Like, people can, like, my commentary, I think I'm fine. Like, I'm getting better. Like, I think a lot of people attribute most success of mine to the commentary.
Right.
When I don't think that, like, I think my commentary is fine. Like, it does what it needs to do. But it's the planning and, you know, being able to come up with a new idea each week. And it's not even an idea of building something that looks cool or plays well. It's got to play well in my format of video. Like, I can't come up with a game where the other person needs to speak. So it needs to be easy to understand. And even building it, I don't want to build something too big because that would be boring. If I'm building like a skyscraper, like, I'm just placing rows of blocks. Like, the building process has to be fun as well.
I would agree. I mean, the commentary, the person, it's a total package, but the ingenuity associated with, you only have to watch, as a producer, you only have to watch one to really appreciate kind of the genius of the amount of ingenuity that goes into it. And with each one, you're building another game. It's amazing. It really is.
And kind of what I hear you saying in that answer, though, is that you haven't necessarily found someone yet that you can get to do those things for you, because, you know,
you're still doing all of it.
I haven't looked for someone like that. I mean, that's what I enjoy most is when I'm in Minecraft and I'm just planning or like just scribbling on a whiteboard and working out dimensions. That's like that. That's the fun part for me. I mean, I love recording as well, but that's what I really enjoy. And I got an editor. So a lot of, you know, that side of thing is, you know, things that I don't need to be as involved in because, you know, there's generally little editing because, you know, as you said, it's 20 minutes straight, no cut. So there's not a huge amount that needs to be done. But like that's
you do all the hard parts. You've got an editor and nothing needs to be edited. Did you invent the format? I mean, were you emulated or inspired by someone else who was taking the world of Minecraft and then bending it to be pre-produced as a show in this way? Or did you just invent it over time?
Like, yeah, it was. I mean, if you look at an early episode compared to now, like, that wasn't the initial format. I mean, The Lovely World, I've probably just about hit 300 episodes now. So, and if you look at episode one, it's in no way similar to any later episodes. I kind of just kept adding on aspects and...
But no one else was doing it. So you are saying that you invented it over time, this format that you've arrived at.
Yeah. I guess I was kind of naturally doing it. There weren't many people doing family-friendly content on Minecraft when I began. Mm-hmm. When I started, it was when Minecraft first came out for consoles. And that is when a lot of children, and on phones as well and tablets, that's when a lot of children started playing. Because before that, Minecraft was like a hardcore gamer's game. It was a weird game. You can only get online and, you know, a lot of the elements of it, you know, you kind of had to know some basic coding to do some things. Mm-hmm. And it was not a kid-friendly game. And it was only when it came to consoles did kids start playing and I started playing. And so I think my timing was just so lucky. The fact that I started doing videos as kids started playing. And I think that is kind of a big reason why it was successful.
But the fact that you developed, again, the format of, okay, they're going to be 20 minutes. You know, why 20 minutes? Was that how long a television show is? Is that why?
I think it just seemed that's a good length to have a beginning, middle, and an end, which is, I guess, why, you know, 22 minutes became the time that TV did it as well. You know, like, it's, you know, there's enough time for you to start explain what you're doing, start the idea, then you've got a good middle where you're creating it, and then you have, you know, 3 or 4 minutes at the end for a fun ending. But, you know, there was not once when I sat down and thought, like, okay, I should start in the room and then I should go to the Love Garden. And, like, I never once thought about that.
It was instincts.
It just kind of happened and then people picked up on it. People were like, I did one episode where I didn't start in my room. People were like, oh, why didn't you start in your room? And I was like, oh, that's a thing now. Like, that just...
I guess I will now.
Yeah, like, okay, that's how I start my videos now.
It's interesting that, you know, Entertainment Weekly called you the Mr. Rogers of Minecraft. And it's that repetition and it's that pattern and it's also the target audience, I guess, but it's so powerful. You know, I even found myself, like, once I watched with Lily, I was like, I get it. I can come back to this. You know, he was one of his dogs Then he ran off and he doesn't know where it is. I bet he did that on purpose. I bet I'm going to find out next time that dog's coming back. This guy's a genius. I want to know what happened to the dog.
Well, the dog's fine. I just want to rest assured of that straight away. The dog's fine. I mean,
a lot of your dogs have died.
I know.
don't be like, the dog is fine. How many dogs have died? And where do you bury them?
I bury them where they die. I mean, that's actually kind of, it's not a nice thing, but that is a nice way to kind of add a bit of a message in, because there's always, you know, if a dog died, you know, they're always buried, and, you know, I can always say a little thing about, like, you know, them being remembered and things. So that's something that I've not shied away from. There are certain dogs that I feel that if they died, people would be too upset. That couldn't happen, but especially in the early days.
So you wouldn't save that one. Like, oh, that dog.
So if that dog dies, it's just start over.
Yeah.
Has that happened?
Yeah, it has. So, but you know, but not really, but once you quit out the game, it's back to school. You know, it hasn't happened again.
Time,
you know, it's
time
gone.
Travel.
Exactly.
Time travel. Which dog are we talking about here?
Like, you know, I don't know any specific examples off the top of my head, but
you know that these dogs are meaningful to the audience. So you
I know that I've diverted destiny for a few favorite characters.
Wow, you're playing God in Minecraft. I love it.
Well, I mean, you talk about the audience and kind of changing, making your content more age appropriate.
Yeah.
And it's not like every YouTuber knows that kids are watching their stuff. What made you make a decision? Because you made a strategic decision early on that, okay, you know, you weren't gonna use foul language. You were gonna keep it kid friendly.
Yeah,
but you didn't have to, and most people don't. And it's a choice.
It was a moral decision rather than a strategic one. Because, you know, that was still at a point where YouTube wasn't even in the back of my head an idea for a career. Like, that was, you know, that was pure hobby. Like, I mean, there was for years I did non-child friendly content on YouTube just as a hobby. You know, no one was watching, but I didn't care. And then when Minecraft came out, I noticed kids were watching, and so, you know, I thought, okay, well, I can't, if kids are watching, I can't be swearing. Like I was happy to change, and I'm so glad I did now, because I think that was, you know, the big reason why more kids started watching, and, you know, parents, you know, trusted me at that point, you know.
Well, and yeah, and I mean, we can say from the perspective of parents who have kids who are fans of yours that, yeah, I mean, we definitely appreciate that. I think that's something that we think about because we are parents, so it kind of came, like, we started YouTube as parents. So, you know, I've always just kind of thought, oh yeah, most of these single people, they just don't know. They're not thinking beyond just the immediate experience that they're having. So they're not thinking like, oh, like 75% of my audience is like really young kids. So maybe I should think about what I'm saying. So as a parent, we appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, it was never seeing... Like, I didn't see a gap in the market, you know. I didn't say, oh, here's this big untapped audience. It was, you know, that audience was there, and I saw they were on my channel, and I was like, okay, I better, you know, tailor my content to the people that want to see. I mean, I say I didn't make child-friendly stuff. Like, I was never vulgar. Like, it was just, you know, it was more...
It just wasn't intended.
Yeah, my commentary was like I am in this conversation. I wasn't, hello, this is, you know, I was speaking as I'm speaking now, which is, you know, it's just fine, but it's, you know, it's not going to grab anyone's attention.
Right.
And you're not going to like just drop an expletive when you feel angry. You're going to hold back a little bit.
Yeah, and even more so than that, I'm not going to get angry. I'm going to understand the situation and adjust, you know, like, you're never going to see Stampy, you know, getting like, say if he loses in a, you know, having a big tournament and I lost by loads. I'm never going to be angry. You know, it's like, "Oh well, but we all had fun." You know, it's saying those messages. It's not my emotions at that point. It's, you know, it's Stampy's. And it's not like, it's different to being fake as well. Because, you know, if I'm laughing, like, that's, you know, that's like, that's laughing. Like, if I turn a corner and there's a zombie and it makes me jump, like, that's all real. But then there's other things where I can tailor things to make it a little bit better than real life, like a little bit happier.
As an entertainer, I mean, what's the largest scale project that you've done? Is it the rocket launch that you were mentioning earlier?
There's my Easter special this year was quite big. That was a choose your own adventure style video. So where it started off as an Easter egg hunt where there would be a riddle left by the Easter bunny and I've got to work out where the egg is. And then eventually I'm attacked by a villain and then it becomes like, do you attack the villain or do you try and talk to him? And then, you know, so that was a good 20 plus episode, short videos.
And those were clickable annotations to different videos?
Yeah. And iCards as well. So it worked on phones. So it was...
Ah, yes.
Yeah, choose your own event. So that was quite a big one. The flying to the moon one was a big one because... In Minecraft, there isn't a moon you can go to, so I had to build the moon.
Yeah, give us the concept. I watched the behind-the-scenes video. I want you to explain it because it was just kind of taking Minecraft from being a game and turning it into a cinematic tool.
Yeah.
It became video editing software, effects software, and it blew my mind when I watched the behind-the-scenes. So what did you want to do? What was the first idea?
Yeah, so this is actually a really controversial video, if you can believe it, for really weird reasons. So what I love to do is to take the game and do things that you couldn't normally do in the game, but make it like it's never like, oh, I've added in a flying dragon, which obviously doesn't fit in. It's supposed to always look like it is just the game, and I just kind of never acknowledge it, and it's just, you know, that's what it is, whether it's flying to the moon or traveling back in time or going around in a submarine. Like, I like to do these bigger videos and they're always more popular. So I did a video where I made it look like I was flying to the moon and I met aliens and the moon was powered by lunar cheese, which I gathered up from the moon. There's this big video.
See, and that's when I knew you were fake, when it was powered by the moon, not powered by lunar cheese.
No. That was all real.
It's powered by naughty children turning cogs. Right?
No.
Yeah, so the process of making that video was, you know, I had to build the moon, which was, you know, a month-long project. I had help building it, but, you know, we're placing block by block, building the surface of the moon, and then...
A sphere of lunar scape.
Well, I was able to... I pretended we couldn't see beyond the horizon, so I didn't have to build... I was able to build a flat plane and assume that the rest wouldn't be seen. So, I mean, that was a big thing, you know, in itself. And then I had to build a recreation of a huge rocket ship that I built in my world, and then... You know, I had to then get the transition perfect from me flying up into the sky and then, you know, loading up a brand new world and then editing it as if I land and trying to make it look seamless.
Right, so you get it. You build the rocket. Like, the audience is along for the ride, watching the rocket on your planet, in your world, the lovely world.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
You get in the rocket and it's like, all right, launch sequence, initiate, and then you see the rocket take off. This cannot happen in Minecraft. It's going up. You see the skyline disappear, and the rocket's it's in orbit. Well, it's out of orbit, and then you see it just come down on the moon, kind of like the SpaceX rocket. Like, it came down butt first, right?
Yeah, full of video logistical reasons. Yeah. It landed exactly right now. Yeah, and the thing with that is the rocket one was, I mean, some people might have guessed that something would have happened, but it always just happens within what would seem like a normal episode. So they would never know when that things like that are going to happen. Like, I love to surprise the audience. And so I'll be having a totally normal episode. I'm building a bakery and then suddenly... you know, a UFO comes down, suddenly something big happens, and then there's this quick adventure, and they have no idea, you know, when it's coming. Or, you know, sometimes I do like a build up to it, that I leave clues in a few episodes leading up to it.
And how are you, I would say, physically editing these things? You're like exporting capture footage from Minecraft into like Final Cut?
Yeah. I was at that point. So I did...
And is that why it was controversial? Because you were using editing tricks at that moment?
Yeah, the controversy was the fact that I got accused of, like, faking a video. And, like, you know...
And how did you find out about that? Like, was it just a bunch of comments?
Well, it was actually I uploaded I knew that after... Because the moon one was the first big video like that. You know, so that kind of...
Where you broke the rules.
Yeah. And so I knew I was going to get comments saying, how did you do that? But I thought they were all going to be, how did you edit that? I didn't realize they were going to be, how did you fly the moon in Minecraft?
Right. they're like all racking their brains. How do we do this in the game?
So I uploaded I made at the same time a behind the scenes where I recorded every process, and I made a video of how Stampy flew to the moon, because I knew people were going to you know, want to know how I did it, thinking the editing tricks, assuming they would know. But then they would find this video and be like, oh, so you faked it. You didn't actually fly to the... You made it out as if you flew to the moon. You were tricking us. And I was like, no, I was entertaining you, hopefully. You know, like, I was... You know, like, I didn't... You know, I was a bit short-sighted on my side. Like, I was didn't realize that people would assume that I was actually doing this thing. You know, I thought I was making, you know, a cool, entertaining video, but I got... You know, I mean, it's just the minority, you know, but
and
it was...
How did learning that people had an expectation, or at least some people had an expectation for this to be an authentic Minecraft experience, how did that impact you moving forward?
I often now in videos like that at the very end say something along the lines of like, you know, like say like I hope you enjoyed this, you know, this special video, and kind of try and word it to make it obvious that, you know, like it you know, like this wasn't fake. I hope you just enjoyed this special thing I made for you. You know, I try and leave something like that, but it hasn't really changed too much. Like, I keep trying to step up to beat the previous thing. And, you know, and there are a lot of people that aren't thinking about the behind the scenes, and whether they think it's in Minecraft or not, are just really enjoying these videos. You know, they always end up being right. more popular, and, you know, they're kind of the people I'm mainly making the videos for. Like, it hasn't put me off kind of doing that kind of thing.
Right. Because that's one of the ways that you're kind of pushing the boundaries of the space.
Yeah, it's just something a little bit different. And I've done, you know, quite a few videos in that style now where, you know, it's probably about once every 2 or 3 months there's just this video that kind of comes out of nowhere, which always seems like a normal video, and then, you know, something extraordinary happens.
What's the next thing? What's in the works? Give us a hint.
Well, after the Easter video, the villain has escaped and will be coming back soon. I'm not holding back from you guys. I'll tell you anything, but I don't know exactly yet what it's
okay,
going to be.
Okay, you got to figure it out.
The villain's going to come back.
You got to spend a month building something.
Whatever it is, it'll be great.
Tell us about the pre-Stampy Joe, like growing up.
So I'd always wanted to... Well, my two obsessions were playing video games and making videos.
But where did you grow up?
I grew up in the south of England, about 15 minutes away from where I live now. It's a small town called Emsworth. It's like a fishing village. It's very...
On the coast.
Yeah, right next to the sea. I had a very happy childhood.
Is your dad or mom a fisherman or fisherwoman?
No, so sadly not. But my dad is actually a graphics designer and did all of the Stampy artwork for merchandise and things. He actually did all of that. So, and then my mum is... you know, number one fan and now like YouTube expert from looking at, you know, from me going watching everyone else, and she's number one on my Stampy Facebook page moderating it to see, like, you wouldn't believe what this woman was saying on the Stampy Facebook page. So, you know, it's kind of become a bit of a family project now, which I love.
What was she saying?
I can never remember.
They'll tell you what they think on Facebook.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that. So you got any siblings?
Yeah, I got two sisters, two older sisters, one of which is now works with my dad doing design work, and another one which has just started a YouTube career as well. So
really?
I wanted to do a video where I was getting my mum to play Minecraft for the first time, and she would be playing and I would be kind of guiding her. And she's, you know, never touched a controller in her life. She wouldn't do it, and then... I asked my sister, who was in the same situation, to do it, and she did it and loved it. And then, like, a few weeks later, started up a YouTube channel doing Minecraft videos. So I was able to get my sister into it as well. So.
Did you guys get along growing up?
Yeah. We always had a really, really close family. I mean,
was it like having three moms when you have two older sisters?
No, because mom's kind of, you know, like... I kind of felt like it was a bit different for I guess playing. Like I had very close friends, and you know, like I wasn't particularly interested in girls' toys, so we were kind of close in a way. But you know, we played together a lot when we were very young. But kind of as you get older, like I was super obsessive into video games, and you know, they weren't. So
from a young age.
Yeah, well, I never actually had games consoles as a child, but all my friends did, which is fine, but like...
And why was your family just like, we're not going to... You shouldn't be playing those video games?
I don't think I've already asked for one. Like, I don't know why, but I don't think I just never considered the fact that I could have one too. I'm talking about when I was very young, but I actually like really? It now because it made video games like really special to me. Because yeah. like it would be, you know, I'd be going around treat. My friend's house and I get to play it, and I'd like be like, oh yeah, I'm going to go around Liam's house. I get to, you know, I get to play the Sega. I get to play the Nintendo.
Oh, Liam had that Sega.
Yeah. He had all of them, and I didn't have any of them. But you know, so it made
Liam was spoiled, wasn't he?
Well, he was an only child.
There were kids like that had all the systems. Now. But a huge part of who you are and what you do now is your imagination, right? And so as somebody who has a brain that can create a story and can create a world, I always picture them as a kid kind of lost in thought or, you know, wandering around, exploring and stuff like that. Like how did that imagination manifest itself when you were a kid?
So when I was really young, it was writing. I used to write my own stories, and like I used to get just A4 paper and like kind of fold it together and staple it to make books and like draw the front cover. So that when I was really young, like that was my obsession. And then, you know, like, Mom, read my new book, and her, you know, looking at my squiggles trying to understand it. And then, you know, and then
so we're talking like adventure novels about fantastical bands of creatures. What genre?
No, nothing that good. It was
nothing that good.
Often slightly based on video games.
Liam's video games.
Yeah. You know, there was a long running series called The Cat and the Dog, which me and my friend Liam's real, by the way.
Sure he is.
And who we would write kind of back and forth together, and wow. sort of as the only other person that would read each other's books.
You were a writing partner.
Yeah,
that's, you know, you were committed. I should have gotten Link involved at this stage, because what I did is I began writing one book when I was about 10 years old, and it was about this group of people who were in this really weird world that had like cows with really short legs and like perfectly manicured grass. And
well, you let me read it, and I guess my reaction didn't encourage you to continue.
No, but what happened is my band of friends who were like going out across this land, they came to a huge chasm, and then like I ran out. I couldn't figure out what they should do when they got to the chasm, so the book just ended with them standing at the edge of a chasm.
That's why they call it Writer's Chasm.
Exactly.
A literal cliffhanger. It's amazing.
It was a literal cliffhanger. That's what I was looking for. A literal cliffhanger.
But yeah, and I let you read it, and as a poet, now, in our relationship now, Link would be like, I've got a suggestion for how to get across the chasm, but he was just like, okay. Let's eat some oatmeal pies.
I like the oatmeal pies. Yeah, if the me now was then, what I would have done was I would have given you 20 notes. Four of them would have been really good and would have helped you get over the chasm. But then the other 18, you'd just gotten really mad at me.
Yeah,
it
would have been very frustrated. Why do the cows have short legs? That doesn't make any sense.
We'd get in a lot of arguments.
So you had a writing partner.
We weren't like you and Liam.
Yeah,
but that didn't continue.
No, I mean that this is very, you know, this is very young. But then as soon as technology caught up to where like I could make videos, then that was the. It used to be animations was my obsession. I didn't have a video camera, but I would take my mum's digital camera, it's like stills camera, and I'd make stop motions. And that is actually where I got the Stampy name from. Stampy Longhead was a character in one of these animations.
With a long head?
He had a long head and big feet. And also on the computer, the way I'd animate, because I didn't have Flash or anything, and if I did, I wouldn't know how to use it. I'd use Photoshop and I'd save pictures. So I'd have all my separate layers and I'd move the eyes and then the mouths, and then I'd save a picture, and then I'd just shove them all in a timeline, and you know, and then I'd make animations that way. And that was... You know, like I'm one of the people that I could sit there for, you know, 7 hours just doing that.
This is like high school or middle school?
This is kind of, that's towards the end of what would be the lowest school, it's primary school in England. Like okay. This would be towards the end of that. This is looking at about 9, 10, 11, 12. You know, that's when I was getting obsessed with that. And then as soon as I got a video camera and, you know, I picked a group of friends that would be interested enough to, you know, jump around in front of it while I'm trying to make something, then that's what I was doing, you know. And this is, you know, before YouTube, and then to the start of YouTube, and then so as soon as YouTube came along, then that was like, okay, I got a place to put all of these early videos.
So you never went back to actually writing anything?
No, I mean, it was writing for video at that point. I never went back to just literature. I mean, these are kids' books. I mean,
Cat and the Dog.
Yeah, the cat and...
That's literature.
Yeah, so as soon as video making like came around, you know, from then until now, then that was what I was going to do, you know, through school. And then I did college for 2 years doing TV and film, and then did video productions in university. Like I knew I was wanting to make videos, but like my obsession was never with film. I didn't watch loads of films. I didn't watch loads of TV. My obsession was always still playing video games. I loved the process of making video, but then playing games.
So what specifically did you think the career was going to be?
I wasn't sure. I always liked editing. Editing was a big thing I liked. That's what I tried to specialize in. I actually, before going full-time in YouTube, I was doing freelance vision mixing, like live vision mixing at events, like corporate events and things. I was doing that because that was one of the few professional things I could do where people would pay me to do it. You know, that was never the
live camera switching.
Yeah, yeah, live switching. So
now, we found your LinkedIn profile online.
Okay.
Which still says, quote, freelance video producer, and features that you were bar staff at the Railway Inn.
Well, that's the only that's work experience.
That's your work.
That LinkedIn was made as in university. Like, they just said, like, do you have a LinkedIn to everyone? And I was like, I don't have one. It's like, if you don't have a LinkedIn, like, make one now.
Yes.
And
so,
like,
I made one. Gotta have one of those.
Yeah. And
it still sits there.
Yeah. Like, I could take it down, but it's not hurting anyone.
But you were a barkeep. Were you a bartender, or were you like...
Yeah, I was all through university, and for a while afterwards, I was a bartender.
At the Railway Inn.
Yeah.
What was that place like?
It was a local English pub. It was down the road from where I lived.
They build pubs on top of pubs over there, right?
Yeah.
It's you walk in a pub to get to another pub, right?
It's like one of eight pubs in the town square of this tiny town. It's like every other building's a small pub, and I was a bartender in one of them.
Churches in the South. It's like where you walk through a church to get to a church.
Right.
Yeah, and it is something like that. But, I mean, that was a great job for me. I loved it at university because I'd love the contrast of the conversations you're having with people at university and then going to the pub. It was each one was a nice break from the other.
Right.
And also, I didn't have great social skills or confidence before then. And that was a great way, you know, to be able to, you know, meet new people each day and just be able to hold, you know, conversations with people. Like, that's something that I wasn't great at.
What was the clientele in the Railway Inn? We're talking middle-aged men watching football?
Yeah. Middle to later aged men, you know, who are in there for a lot of the day. You know, there's lots of really nice people there, though. You know, it was a sport pub. It had a pool table and a dartboard and stuff. So it was a pretty good mix, actually.
Right.
Seen any wicked dart accidents?
No. And almost course. I mean, we would when the pub was shut, we would do crazy darts, and we'd play darts in, you know, just difficult positions to throw darts. So, you know, no one was there. We were fine. But that was one of the things to look forward to at the end of the shift, crazy darts.
Did you ever have to do that very stereotypical thing that a bartender does in movies where they have to cut some old man off like late at night? Like, you can't have another one. Is that part of the bartender's code?
Yeah, you got to deal. Arguing with drunk people is one of the skills you pick up early on, and how to ignore knowledge, ignore logic, and just sort of.
Right.
It's just like dealing with just really big kids at that point.
Yes.
You know? Like the way you got to speak to them.
Right. That's where you developed your voice for Stampy.
No.
Talking to drunk men who needed to be like told to walk home. Oh, just go ahead and walk home now.
Oh, duh. Don't do that to him. That sounded nothing like
it did. That was the very Stampy. Poor Rhett interpretation of the very beginning of the video.
What's your day to day like now? I mean, let's talk social life.
So, you know how hard it is. I mean, the good thing.
You're putting out how many videos a day? How many days a week?
So I do Minecraft daily, and then there's other games I play as well, which are sort of on top of that. So it's
7 days a week.
Yeah, it's probably about 11 or 12 videos I do a week. I do. So I do a Minecraft one every day. But you know, we were speaking earlier about the preparation that goes into videos. That's not all of them. That's very specific to My Lovely World, my main series. There's other videos where, you know, you could be sent a map, which is kind of like a story, and you kind of just play through it. And, you could do 3, 4, 5 episodes in a row, you know, kind of as long as you've still got energy and got your voice. Like, you know, so I could, you know, do one day recording them, and then that's covered for 2 weeks. And so then I have the time to, you know, spend, you know, a day or two like working hard on one particular video. So that's that's the way you can kind of fit it in, so you actually have time to do it all.
And I want to come back to that day to day, and I think this kind of intersects with it too. Knowing that, you know, when you look at the amount of viewers that you're getting on this content, and imagining, you know, especially if you're still doing so much of it yourself, I mean, your overhead is low, views are incredible, you're obviously doing well financially. So at what point did you start thinking like, okay, you know, at one point you're a bartender and a guy who's studying at university, and the next moment you're like, well, hold on, this is a real thing. This isn't just making a living. Like, this is building something that is a pretty big deal. Like, I'm going to have opportunities based on how this is going. Like, do you remember when that started happening?
Yeah, well, I mean, the very specific day-to-day for producing videos for my channel has hardly changed. Like, I've got, you know, I'm not doing it from, you know, my bedroom now, which is nice. You know, it's still in my house, but I'm not doing it from a bedroom anymore. But, you know, the process of making videos, like, hasn't changed, because there's nothing you can really change. Because I don't want to bring help in for that, because I want it to stay so true to me, that hasn't changed. It's just other opportunities around there has changed, you know, for things that I could do, you know, going forth. Like, it's just opened a lot of doors for me. And so that's the big thing that has changed.
But do you anticipate, you know, because, I mean, at some point, you're going to be like, well, I want to start a family, or I want to try this, or I've got this project that if I want to do this thing, I'm going to have to let some of that go. Is there this, is it a, well, I just hope I'll find somebody I trust? Because I totally get it that you're saying, I enjoy that. Like, I don't want to let go of that. I don't want it to become just this enterprise or this business that I'm just managing, because the heart of it, of you developing and executing your creativity, is something you want to maintain. But if you decide you want to, you know, like one, like your new project, WonderQuest, things like that, if they start pulling away at that, is it just a matter of finding somebody you trust to do it for you, or is it pulling back?
I think it would have to be pulling back. Like, the planning of the Lovely World episodes and the commentary are the two things that I could never give away. There's probably a few, you know, like, literally, you know, so if I was going to do a video now of flying to the moon, you know, there's probably someone I could get to build the moon for me, or, you know, to build that map. Mm-hmm. But the commentary and then the preparation for the actual video, the coming up with ideas, that I'm going to always retain as me. So it would have to be a case of, you know, three or four maybe Minecraft videos a week rather than seven, you know, if that did happen. You know, as you said, like, I wouldn't have an option to start a family now. Like, the, you know, my schedule wouldn't permit for that. You know, it would be unfair to the other people, you know, in my life to, you know, it's 10 hours a day, you know, if not more, just to, mm-hmm. you know, and that's just getting by. And then there's everything, other opportunities that go on top of that, you know, which take up more time. So, you know, yeah.
Yeah, like, how do you handle a week in LA like this?
So I always just stockpile. Like, I do have opportunities to record when I'm going away, but I'm so particular about kind of where I record and like kind of my setup, like, you know, just the mental space.
You just end up having a stockpile. Yeah. Like, if you're here for a week, the previous week you had to do double. Or
yeah.
The previous
yeah.
2 weeks.
Yeah. And then when I get, I'm always quite far ahead in terms of recording. I always have safety room. It's normally, depending on what series, it's normally at least a month safety room I have. So, you know, because if I'm sick, if I lose my voice, then, you know, I don't ever miss days, you know, like, I've
can't miss days. That's,
yeah, I've never, you know, like, kind of out of just tradition, I'd hate just to miss one day. Because
you've never missed a day?
Well, like, since doing, I don't know from when it started, but since I started doing daily Minecraft videos, I've not missed a day yet. So it kind of just sucked just to miss one, because I had a sore throat and I'd probably end up using like Siri to do a commentary or something, you know, like to text a voice to do or something,
voice,
you know,
memo.
rather than
people might
it.
Be disappointed.
But what about, you got to have time for romance, man. I mean, and I'm not just talking let's just say there was a girl that you could play some Minecraft videos with, and then that could also be popular and like help meet your quota. I'm actually talking about like in real life, an actual girl.
Yeah, so what's the question?
do you have time for romance?
Yeah, I mean, like, my schedule isn't to the point where I can't do it. Like, I can go out, I can do things, I can meet people. I mean, like, it's hard for me
like
to...
Like a duck.
To... It's hard for me to meet people outside of the YouTube space, which is lucky for me that, you know, I have met someone, and we've not kept a secret. Like, I'm with Squashy, who's a duck in Minecraft. And, you know, and we met through Minecraft, as I meet most people these days.
And she may or may not be in the room
right
now.
Yeah, she may or may not be to my left.
Squirming in the corner. I was like, you can stay in here. We typically say, oh, nobody can stay in here. But I just wanted to see her squirm in the corner when I kind of made you squirm. But I asked Lily, I was like, you think, does Stampy have a girlfriend? No, she was watching the video, like Stampy and Squashy playing. And I was like, okay, I hear a girl's voice. That doesn't sound like Ballistic Squid, and unless he's changed a lot since last time I listened over your shoulder. And she's like, no, that's Squashy. I was like, oh, is that Stampy's girlfriend? She was like, she was like, well, he doesn't say so, but it's pretty obvious, right?
Which is kind of what you're saying.
I mean, in videos, I never talk about personal life. It's just... Like, I never even I'm not even talking about my life. Like, I never reference real life things. Like, I'll never mention, like, you know, a specific, you know, I'll never mention what I had for breakfast. It's always...
Because Stampy is a character.
Yeah. You know, like, if I'm talking about eating something, it's what I'm eating in Minecraft, not real life. So...
But you got your vlog channel, too, though, that people can... that you.
Yeah, yeah. So there's another channel, Magic Animal Club, which is kind of, there's a few of us. It's a bit of a joint channel. So whenever we do want to do something that is kind of outside of the character, you know, that's kind of a place where we can put that. And the only reason we do that is because people, like, you know, demand it. People are interested. And
they've got to know. It's just like we had to know right here, and we had to talk about it. So the answer is, yes, there is time for a girlfriend.
Yeah.
But then you guys have made a decision, okay, we're going to do the vlog thing. You're going to see us at Disneyland. You can, you know, we're just going to, you know, what went into that decision?
Like, we never feel the need to, like, announce anything. Like, with anything in our personal life, we never feel, you know, we're not vloggers. Like, we've done a few vlogs, but they're always like, we're doing a big thing. Like, you want to see this cool thing we're doing. Like, I've never done a vlog from home just saying, like, hey, woke up this morning. How you? You know, like, I've never done just a general, you know, vlog. You know, I think I'd be really boring at that. But, you know, if I'm doing a really cool thing and I think, oh, you know, people would love to see us doing this thing. This is cool. You know, that's when we vlog. And, you know, if I happen to be with Squashy or whoever, you know, they're going to be in the vlog. You know, we're going to do it, you know, together. But I never feel like... you know, I need to announce anything in my personal life. I kind of, you know, it's kind of nice to have that, you know, that boundary, like you guys have, you know, a bit of that separation.
Right. One of the things we were talking about today, I was trying to picture, like, surely, you know, the fact that you guys are making videos together it makes it a little bit less of a loner thing. I mean, like, you could easily just sort of dive into this world and just be doing everything by yourself, which is kind of what you were doing at one point. So how has it been managing a relationship like that? And a logistical question, are you guys in the same room when you're talking to each other in the game?
We're in the same house, but in a different room, just for, it's easier just for
sound isolation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that makes it easy like that. And we were recording.
And plus, that's just how your relationship works. Like, we're best
there's
in
a
separate
line.
Rooms.
There's a line down the middle of the house.
Yeah, right. This is my side. This is your side. That's what we do.
Yes, yes. So, I mean, we were recording before we met together. Like, it was, you know, it was that way around. And, you know, I've done videos with other people before. Like you mentioned earlier, Ballistic Squid, you know, like who I met when I had 1,000 subscribers when I met him. And we've been, you know, kind of unofficial partners for a while. You're not to the level that you two are in the fact that we're never planning stuff together. Like, he has series on his channel, which I'm kind of a guest in, and I'll jump in and be comic relief. And then vice versa, I'll have a series which... you know, like, I'm very controlling. Like, I'll kind of plan, you know, I'll plan what the series is, and I invite him in because he really makes me laugh. And so he's great.
But you can't talk.
Like, no. He does talk. Yeah, yeah. So it's really only been Ballistic Squid and now Squashy that I've done videos talking to people, which is always awkward for me because...
Are you a control freak?
Like, To like, if it's a point where it's...
Squishy is nodding her head.
Like, if I'm doing a video on my channel, you know, then like I feel like I am in control and I want it the way I want it. But if I was a guest in, you know, Squid's or Squishy's videos, like I wouldn't try and take control. Like I let them take control and I'll, you know, let them, right. you know, I'll abide by their rules and go in the direction they want. So,
but like in real life, like, okay, it's we got to get from point A to point B and we're going to go my way.
I don't think so. Can we have a nod or a shake? Am I controlling? We've got a sigh. I don't think so. Like for work stuff and video stuff, like that's my obsession and that's when I'm going to really care. You know, if it's about like what we're going to have for dinner, like I'm not interested. I don't care. Right. You know, we can have what you want. I'm not worried. You know,
so like, you're not like a personality type. Are you laid back or like more tightly wound? You know, does it carry over from the meticulous planning that goes into your videos?
I think, there's things that like, you know, that would stress me out, but I think I'm generally laid back about most things.
So did the relationship start before?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
So the way we met was Squishy sent me a map in Minecraft.
And I will say,
send him a map.
We would just bring her over, but we don't have a fourth mic. And it's also more entertaining for me personally to watch her just react to you speaking.
Yeah,
so it's not like we're trying to keep the woman silent. It's just sort of logistically working out that way right now.
Well, we met in a traditional way. She sent me a Minecraft map. No, she sent
a map to her heart, perhaps.
She sent me a video of like, because, you know, people send me maps all the time to, you know, hoping that I'm going to play through them and do a video of them. So she sent me a Stampy themed map that she made, but she made a video of her playing through it and kind of talking about it. And, you know, and I thought the map was okay. Like, the map was pretty cool. But, like, I thought her commentary was really funny. Like, I thought she was really good and she had... I don't know how many subscribers she had at the time, but I remember I was her 11th. She'd only been doing YouTube, and she'd been doing for a few months. And so I went and watched some of her videos. I was like, she's really funny. Like, this is someone who, you know, really child friendly, bright, happy. Like, this is someone who I'd like to do videos with.
And then you looked out your window and she was standing there.
Wearing a t-shirt with my face on.
Yes, right. Been there.
Yeah. So I reached out to her and I wanted to meet her for a bit and chat, you know, before saying about, you know, doing, I'll never go, let's do a video together. So I talked about, you know, the possibility of doing a series together and kind of worked out what that would be. And then we started recording. And so, you know, when you're recording with someone, you're speaking to them a lot. And so, yeah, we met through Minecraft.
So she was kind of a collaborator first or...
Yeah, definitely. We did videos together before we met in person.
Right. And then when you... The first time you incorporated, I know you'd incorporated Ballistic Squid already into videos, but when you incorporated her into videos, what was the fan reaction? And how do your fans react to changes
There's a lot of negativity, like any change, like any, like I did a one-off series with Martin Littlewood from the Yogscast, and you know, and I think it was a great series, but like up until then, all of that type of video had been with Squid. And so, you know, people generally react negatively to change. And so I think when I started with Squishy, there was a bit of that. I mean, it's always the minority, you know, it's always a very loud minority.
Right.
But, you know, but that was when we started. We're now, you know, we've been doing videos for quite a while now. And, you know, people love her. And she's, you know, she's got a strong channel as well. And, you know, her own set of fans. And, you know, she's just kind of... accepted as, you know, as part of the, you know, the group of friends now.
Did you start dating before you met in person?
No, like we kind of, you know, we were kind of talking and getting along and then, you know, and then we met.
We won't keep grilling you about that. We should talk about the new stuff that you're working on because there's like huge stuff.
So Wonder Quest is, so this is off my channel. This is a new channel called Wonder Quest, which is, it's a joint channel I'm doing with Maker Studios. Mm-hmm. We're kind of going into this together. And I had the idea from as soon as I realized kids were watching, I knew that I wanted to do educational videos. And so, and this was, you know, this is what that is. And so it's a new channel where it's a brand new format to where, unlike my videos, which are completely unscripted, these are completely scripted. You know, we have producers of the show. We, you know, it's shot like a show. You know, we have multiple cameras, you know, and we have overlays and music and sound effects. And it's amazing.
But it's set within a Minecraft
yeah.
universe It's Minecraft.
Yeah, it's all
Minecraft
characters. Yeah, it's all
Minecraft worlds.
Yeah, there is also a sideshow called I Wonder, and that is an animated show.
Right.
And so that's shorter content. Each episode's about 3 or 4 minutes, and that goes even more in-depth to the educational side, whereas the main show, I mean, it's got to be entertainment first, because otherwise no one's going to watch it, you know, but, you know.
What's the story, like, in general?
So it's kind of like a Saturday morning cartoon. There's an evil villain called Heinous, who's played by Shay Carl. And you know, and then he's got his two henchmen, and there's the Wonder Cube, which has been shattered, and it's basically stopped everyone from wandering. Like, no one's thinking. Like, everyone's just kind of turned dumb. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to piece it back together. So each episode, we're following clues to try and find a piece of the wonderment, and then there's certain obstacles we have to try and get past on our way to doing that. And, you know, and we're inevitably having to learn something to get past those obstacles.
And what was the motivation for kind of branching out?
I just knew it was something that I wanted to do, and I just knew it was something that would work so well in Minecraft. And, you know, Minecraft has been used for education for a while now. Like, it's used in schools quite a lot. There's an EDU version of Minecraft, which is an educational version of Minecraft, which is, you know, officially released. So it's not, you know, it's not breaking like any doors down in that way, but that type of entertaining video content is something that you don't see much of. And it just seemed like such an obvious thing, because it's not just a show that they can watch, because we're also releasing the worlds, you know, the sets or the games that we're playing in. So with each episode, we release a world so people can kind of do what we did and, you know, kind of carry on playing and learning, you know, beyond just watching the video.
But how is it shot? It's shot like a show. It's not... like a live action show, right? Because you've got a real world, a virtual world of Minecraft, but then you have to shoot, like, I'm talking camera angles and characters and blocking, no pun intended. It's not it's not like an animation, which you just draw whatever you want. You have to, A, you have to build it. Then you have to insert the characters. And then C, you have to shoot it.
Yeah, how does that work?
How do you work camera angles in Minecraft?
So, yeah, so the first thing, building the sets is a big thing.
Like, but I get that. It's like, Minecraft.
Yeah.
That's easy.
But then even, anyway, I won't go into that stuff. So the filming, so we're in the game, and then we have characters that are invisible. So they're the cameras. And there are settings you can do to have a smoother camera and make it so you don't see any of the menus. You just see, you know, what you'll see
so
in a show.
So it's the first-person perspective of invisible characters edited together to
becomes
make...
becomes a cameraman.
Yeah, but and think how, you know, the amazing, you know, you have like, if you have to do a crane shot in real life, you know, you've got to get a crane. You know, with us, you've got to press a button, you can fly.
the invisible cameraman.
Yeah, so there's lots of opportunities to do cool things there. And then,
are people doing this, or is this the first of its kind?
There's been things that I've done on my channel which are kind of,
use that technique.
Yeah, you know, and people, you know, before me doing that kind of thing. I mean this is long form content, though. You know, these are, you know, I mean, it's all internet based, so it's not strict, but they're all about 20 minutes or so. So this is long form content, and the overlays, all the music, and then the, you know, the simple, so say if I'm throwing an item on the ground, they don't just rely on the Minecraft sound, you know, they're at a whoosh, whoosh, you know.
But let me ask you this, when you're playing Stampy in this world, are you controlling the character and voicing it simultaneously?
Yeah, so we're...
And then you're doing... There's a director. Are you all in the same room? Are you in London and Shay Carl's in, like, the middle of Idaho?
So it's there's a couple of us. There's myself and then Adam Clark, who plays Wizard Keen, who's kind of... He's kind of like my mentor. He's the kind of guy teaching me. I'm kind of the pupil. We're in the UK, and then there's the team at Maker, and they're in LA. So I got a bad sleep pattern for recording late at night. And so what essentially I'm doing is the commentary is still done live with the action. We don't just do a voiceover session like after we've shot it. So I'm basically nodding. I'm nodding the character's head up and down.
And
speaking. And there are some elements where, you know, there is a lot of improvising that goes into it. And there are some parts where it is more of a, you know, there's a horde of zombies coming. We need to get them. And
so then, you're setting up the scene. Is there like a director who's like you're hearing and he's like on Skype or something?
Yeah,
and he's saying, okay, guys, action.
It's amazing how similar to a normal shoot. A lot of like the logistics are, you know, we have to face
a live action shoot. It's just, yeah. I mean, I didn't think of
it. It's like doing a play more than it's like filming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, it's still scene-based, I assume.
Yeah.
And then you stop down and it's like, well, let's get that again. I didn't like your performance. Let's...
Right, but you... There's... If you're building something or, you know, the same thing applies where you have to redo it, right?
Yeah, but like it... Yeah, I mean, if we're building something, we have to redo it. But there's very little Minecraft in
Minecraft.
It's more of a story within...
Yeah. It is, you know, puppets, I think, is quite a nice thing to use. You know, we're kind of playing through. You know, there are sometimes we might need to play something. We're never...
How many cameramen are there?
It's usually two, you know, but we redo the scene a few times, you know, I'll get specific things. There's sometimes, you know, there's
so you have two cam ops who are invisible men, and then you'll redo the scene and like give them different assignments. And there's a director who's deciding all that stuff.
Yeah. And sometimes if it's a bigger scene, you know, sometimes we'll have a scene where we need like a crowd and we need, you know, like it's, you know, like a bigger scene, then we'll have more people helping out. You know, sometimes Squishy might hop on and be an extra character in the background because it's needed.
And how long, I mean, what's... How many episodes of how long?
So there's 12 episodes. We're doing three seasons. The first season is out now, and there's 12 episodes of that, and they're all about 20 minutes. Some go down to about 15, I think. Some went a little bit longer.
And how are you releasing that? Because I know that when we're recording this, you're about to launch.
Yeah.
And then once it's launched, you're releasing them all 12 episodes at once?
No, we're going to be doing them weekly. There's going to be... So there's the I Wonder, which is the animated show, and then one of the main show, Wonder Quest, is going to be released each week. And okay. So they're going to be spaced out in that way.
And how do you... I mean, I guess this applies to your videos too, but for some reason, it just seems like more of an issue when you're creating like an original programming. When you're basically creating a show that is intellectual property, but you're using Minecraft. Are there any like copyright considerations for that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, it means we there's no opportunity to bring it to TV, for example, is a big thing. I mean, the Minecraft's great in terms of their terms of use. The fact they spell out very clearly, like it says in the terms of use, you may, you know, put this content on YouTube and monetize it, and you know, which is obviously
and they don't take a cut.
No, but they, you know, they have the best free advertising in the world. Oh, yeah. You know, it's way better than any trailer. So it's kind of a, you know, a mutual benefit situation.
Right.
So, you know, for things like, say, if we wanted to bring out, you know, merchandise or something, you know, you can't use anything Minecraft. So it does kind of limit kind of the potential of what these things can be, but... For this kind of show, like, its home is YouTube. Like, this is the place where, you know, children are going to want to watch this program.
So what now? I mean, it sounds like Wonder Quest is, you know, there's two more seasons that you're committed to. Are you happy with it so far? And what else are you setting your sights on?
Yeah, I mean, I'm super happy with how Wonder Quest has like turned up. And I'm, you know, as I said, as we're recording this, it's not public yet, so I'm anticipating the reaction. And you know, this is something I've spent, you know, the last year on, so just waiting to see what people think. So hopefully, as the time as I can listen to this, I'm reading nice comments. And
right.
I mean, the big thing for me has obviously been so tied directly to Minecraft. The worry is that, you know, once Minecraft's popularity starts to go down, as you know it inevitably will, is to try and make it so, you know, the Stampy Cat character can kind of live on in some other form. And there's, you know, that there's nothing at the moment, but you know, I'm heavily thinking about, you know, other mediums or other ways that Stampy Cat can, you know, live as a character outside of Minecraft. So that's the next big project.
Well, you know, we're in awe of everything that you're doing, and we think it's awesome. And obviously our kids do, so
yes,
sign the table, man. And that will be something our kids can keep coming back to and say, yeah, it really did happen. So can
it
we.
Did, yes.
Thank you so much for having
thanks,
me on.
Thanks, man. And Beth, you should come over to the mic and say something. Okay. Come on. I'm not going to make you, but I just said you should.
Okay.
You should put on the headphones and everything. Yeah. Just full treatment. And you, because
just
Joe,
so they can know that you are actually here.
I was actually here.
And that's her.
And
yay. That's Squishy Quack.
What's your assessment? I mean, is there something that you need to correct that he said?
Not really. I mean, yes, he is quite controlling.
Oh, there we go.
Okay, now, yes.
And what else? Don't hold back.
That's great.
I don't really have any more.
that's all you need to say. That's all you need to say.
You listen. You know what? You just earned your own signature on this table.
Yes,
please.
Yes. Find that's a spot.
Okay. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thank you.
And there you have it, our conversation with Stampy Cat and Squishy. We got her on that mic there at the end, so that's...
We did.
Got her perspective.
I mean, she was here the whole time, which I think we explained, but so it was only appropriate to bring her on and give her a microphone.
Tweet at Joseph. His Twitter handle is Stampy Longnose. Stampy Longnose, not Stampy Cat. Hashtag Ear Biscuits. Let him know what you thought of the conversation. Also, give us a review on iTunes. We appreciate that.
One of the cool things that happened is right after we finished recording this podcast, we took him out of the Ear Biscuit studio here and walked out into the main part of the studio and to record the Good Mythical Morning appearance that he made, which has been up for a while, the Minecraft game, which I won, by the way. And I thought that you would win because you've been watching.
I know,
you really should feel a little shame about that. But
questions were hard for us.
Our kids were here because not just because we wanted to use them in the game, but because they really, 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 really wanted to meet Stampy. This is probably
cool dad points.
Maybe the number one celebrity that they would want to meet. Period.
Oh yeah.
You know, and so, and of course, once some of their friends found out that they were meeting Stampy, they had to be here too. So we had all of our kids and some of their friends here.
Well, we knew they were here.
We
didn't know where they were.
So as soon as we get out into the sort of the main open area of the studio, they're all like standing there and they begin clapping.
Like for his entrance.
For Stampy as he comes out. And it was an amazing moment. Of course, he's like the most gracious guy. You can totally tell he's not one of these guys that is annoyed by the fact that he's popular with children. He immediately started talking to each one of them and, you know, Lily had made some stuff for him. And anyway, it was pretty awesome. But they definitely got more out of that moment than they've ever gotten out of anything that we provided as an actual father.
Hey, if that's what it takes to be a cool dad or a good dad,
we'll
or whatever, I don't know. You know, it's like I'll pull out that stop. You know,
you'll pull out that stop.
I'll pull out. You know how they say pull out all the stops.
Yeah, you'll pull out that stop.
Joseph Garrett coming into your studio is one of the stops.
Oh, but I think you pull out the stops to make things go faster, right?
I have no clue what a stop is.
I think you play a card.
You're
playing the Stampy card as a father to become a cool dad.
The funny thing is, when you talk about pulling out the stops, you know what I picture? And I have no clue why. Maybe you can explain this. An organ. Are there stops in an organ?
That could very well be what I'm sure it has some sort of word, phrase, origin thing, and it could be. I don't know. I mean, it's not pulling out a doorstop, right? Because it's multiple stops, and you pull them out, and then something happens. You're
going
to look it up right now just to find out?
Here, well, the music playing.
They can stick around if they want to learn
pulling
something.
Out
assuming you're going to be able to figure it out by looking on the internet, which is a questionable source often.
Pulling out all the stops.
Origin. That's what I would Google if I was Googling it. Find anything?
An allusion to organ stops.
There you go. How did you even know that?
I don't know. An allusion to organ stops, which control the loudness and tones of a pipe organ. When all are pulled out, the organ can play...
It's super loud.
Well, it can play all tones simultaneously.
I'm pulling out all the stops.
To reserve or hold back nothing. They pulled out all the stops for that gala wedding. That's the Wikipedia...
Link, you had some mystical insight.
I had knowledge. Empty the tank. Give one's all. Go all out.
Either you're clairvoyant or you've heard that before. What's your choice?
Let's say that I've heard it before.
Okay.
I have got a lot of organist friends.
All right.
That you don't know about.
Next week, we'll be back with another interesting tidbit about word origins. No, probably not. That's probably the only time that's ever going to happen.
But rest assured, we'll pull out all the stop for you.
That's right. Stop?
Yeah.
Just one stop.